Hey guys, it's Lavetta.
And it's Miriam.
And this is the Notorious Women Podcast, a comedy podcast about some of history's most notorious women.
Some of these queens are heroic.
And some of these bitches are horrific. But we think the most interesting thing of all is that they're all notorious.
Notorious.
Hi, welcome back for our new brand new iteration of the Notorious Women Podcast. Miriam, are you excited?
I'm so excited. It's rebrand. I'm going to rebrand.
We hope you guys missed us. And we also hope that you've been doing very, very well post-election. We're actually recording this before, so we're not going to comment on anything. But
no.
We hope that the world will not be on fire and that we will all be cheering in the streets. And
yep. So many fingers and toes are currently crossed.
I know. And we are starting this in the thick of things of the holiday season.
Yeah, yes.
Which kind of inspired this new rebrand. Basically, we are, instead of now, moving forward, instead of us doing two shows, two women, each episode, we're going to do one. So we're going to do a handoff every week.
It's more focused, y'all. It's more focused.
And we can expand on one woman and not feel kind of rushed, you know, thinking, getting into the nitty gritty or the interesting thing about each woman. And also to give you guys a little bit more time, because in this holiday season, you are very, 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 very busy. Mm. And but you can still support the show and listen to us and get a, you know, a dose of your Miriam and Lavetta every week.
And listen, guys, let us know what you think of this new brand, this new rebrand.
Yeah.
I'm really excited because I feel like we can really delve and play, you know?
Yeah. And it's also, I feel like it's inspiring. It makes me happy. Like the holidays make me happy. So, you know, for the next couple months, I'll be very, very happy. We also, don't forget to leave us a 5-star review, and telling us what you think, even if you're like, I think you should do this. I think you should do that. Still 5 stars,
And then like in your comment, you can be like, actually, here's what I really think. And we read them. So we'll read them and we'll respond.
Exactly. So, without further ado, let's get into it.
Okay.
Miriam is first this week in our new brand, new rebrand, that is. So, Miriam, who is your notorious woman that you are sharing with me?
All right. I know you all are going to be like, I know you read the title, so you know what it is.
Right.
Okay.
I don't. Okay. Not yet.
You don't know what it is, but everyone else does. You're the only one left out right now.
Okay.
I am going to talk about Tituba. Now, I know you're like, that's not Thanksgiving, but it is Halloween, and it's the first episode of our holiday arc.
Yeah.
And so, just like one quick last shout out to our witches, okay?
Witches.
Love a witch.
Sometimes the baddest bitches.
Okay. Lavetta's a poet, you guys. Okay.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Proud to know you.
Tituba.
Tituba. No, what's interesting is that I just a little history about Miriam. Miriam was really obsessed with the Arthur Miller play, The Crucible, when I was in high school. And I my first big monologue in college was Abigail. And I was all kinds of judgmental about these people. And, you know, that's why theater is important. So you learn how to find empathy for people you wouldn't maybe be. So learning about Tituba and like where she comes from, because if you're like, what play by Arthur Miller, old lady? Okay, it's a very famous play. And which I think really helped shape our view of the Salem witch trials. Like whether you know the play or not, that play was a really big it really pushed the narrative of what it was. So learning about Tituba and what it like was really interesting for me. But also, side note, unsurprisingly, as a woman that was not white, but what was she? We'll get into that. We don't have enough information about her, really. So lots of speculation. The most we know about her early life before the trials is written down by white men. Mm. So, you know, keep it in mind. Yeah. Now, she appears to be it says an Indian slave, a Native American, not really sure where, but it says Indian slave of a local minister named Samuel Paris. Okay. Now, we know she was his slave. We don't know how that happened. So she's not from Massachusetts, where all of the stuff that she's famous for takes place. So a white man, so, you know, little asterisk is from a white man, wrote down, name is Thomas Hutchinson, but he's away. Oh, we don't care. He wrote in 1764, which is like decades after anything happened. He wrote that she had been brought into the country from New Spain. Basically, New Spain could be so many places like Mexico City, California, the Southwest. But it also could be islands that they conquered, because basically Spain and where they conquered. Right.
Okay. So we're you said
1764. He wrote this down.
1764. He wrote this down.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is okay.
60 years after a bunch of shit happened. So,
yeah, but we're leading up to the Revolutionary War.
At this point?
Yeah, 17.
Yeah, we like are.
It's like grumblings and things like that. Okay.
Do you know I just had to do right now? I had to hum Hamilton to remind me of when the revolution happened. 1781. Okay. Yeah. It's about us a little earlier.
But that's to sort of center people. No, Hamilton is great. And it's a great sort of center for people to kind of understand what's going on around, because things don't happen in a vacuum, right? So there's rumblings. There's like, you know, the colonists are upset with the British because the British are coming in and being like, we can sleep in your house whenever we feel like it and maybe bed your wife and eat all your food and, you know.
Can I just share something?
Shit
really
in your
quick?
Barn, you know. Anyway, I'm sorry. You know they did that.
You know they did do that. Okay. This is nasty. Disgusting. Okay. My children are obsessed with Hamilton. We all are. There's like 3 out of 4 members of my family has Hamilton memorized. And the fourth member, we're not asking what his opinion is. It's fine. We all went to see it. He's like, you got me a ticket too? I said, I did. We're going. Okay. So anyways, my kids looked up what actual Hamilton and Aaron Burr look like, and they are horrified.
Oh my God.
Was he really considered good looking, Mom?
Oh, ouch.
Yeah, no, ouch. I was like, sorry.
The babies are coming for Alexander Hamilton.
You know, like Leslie Odom Jr. like looks better. Let's be real.
Well, Leslie Odom Jr. is pretty flawless in all aspects. So, yeah.
I'm just not mad at Leslie Odom Jr. is all I'm going to say. Ever. I'm a happily married woman. So
I'm not, but I think he is. So he's a happily married man. So
exactly.
Anyways, I got eyes, though. Mm.
We're not dead. Okay.
No, not at all. Yeah. Not at all.
All right. So basically, historians are like, okay, so you mean the Caribbean, more specifically Barbados? And that's just what they came up with. And it seems to track.
Okay. That's where she came from. Okay. All right.
Right.
Gotcha.
In the 90s, Elaine G. Breslau identified her with a Tatuba that was born in 1660, somewhere between in the early 1660s, and was documented as a slave to a Samuel Thompson in Barbados in 1674. And they think the name was derived from a clan of Arawak language speakers, which meant that she was born near Venezuela and captured as a child. Aww. So, and then there's other historians that think she might have been born in Africa and captured there. But in Puritan sources, she was universally described as Indian.
Yeah, I have a feeling that the Africanness came later on when slavery became exclusively associated with people of African descent versus, like, in the beginning, the Europeans just enslaving everybody.
Right. I mean,
the native
people. Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. What we would consider Indian and American Indians or South American
native,
Indians.
Yeah.
Yeah, native. So.
Yeah, basically, like, are you kind of tan? Okay, let's go.
Yeah. Do you not have lice swimming out of your hair as you get off the boats?
Yeah,
have
we'll
dead?
Take you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so what we think we know is that she interacted with a diverse group of people in Barbados, and she picked up a lot of knowledge about witchcraft from, you know, from other slaves and her mistresses as well. It was a very, that the island kind of embraced that idea more. Now, her original owner, Samuel Thompson, inherited his farm in 1676, but then he died in 1679 and he deeded his estate to other people. Now, we don't know why Thompson and Paris are at all connected. We only know is that his estate was in flux, like he died and no one knew what to do with his stuff. And
gotcha.
Somehow Tituba ended up as being owned by Samuel Paris and going to Massachusetts in 1680. Can you imagine that turmoil?
Yeah, I mean, to be enslaved in general, but then to leave a beautiful climate to go to fucking cold ass
Massachusetts, right?
With mean white people,
right?
Mean scary white people. No, that was not pleasant.
So this happens because the world is a trash bag. And now she was married, and I've very little. Again, they did not write shit down if you weren't white. Like, they just didn't.
They didn't. So, yeah.
In the record book, y'all, her husband was named John Indian. Okay.
Okay.
Now,
yeah. She was definitely what we would consider Indian then. Cause
yeah,
that's how the white people would do it.
Do you think that his name was in fact John Indian?
Yeah, they don't know. Yeah, that was not his name.
What fucktards. Okay, so how do I feel? And they think he was either Wampanoag or another native tribe. Anyways.
So I have a question. Did he come with her or did she meet him?
Know.
Oh, again, they didn't write it down.
Yeah,
okay.
I don't know. But then I read, okay, the Salem witch trials are starting. He became one of her accusers.
Well, yeah, everybody starts pointing fingers at not it. Basically, the Salem witch trials was like, not it, not it, not it. Okay.
So let me tell you what she does. It's fascinating. So Salem witch trials. She was one of the first people to be accused of practicing witchcraft by Elizabeth Paris. She was 9 years old. So Elizabeth was 9. Abigail, who was Samuel's niece, because Abigail's parents had died. So she lived in that house. Abigail was only 12. So had I known that when I was doing the monologue of Abigail in the Crucible, I would have played it a little differently.
Okay.
They were children. And what happened was they had been complaining. They had been getting high fevers and convulsions. So that's real. That's documented that they were getting really sick, high fevers, convulsions. And, you know, their father, who was, you know, ran a church, said, let's pray for them. That should work. And we know how well thoughts and prayers work. Yeah, not well.
Yeah. It solves everything.
Right? So I don't think this is the OG thoughts and prayers. Okay.
Yeah.
So Then he was like, okay, these thoughts and prayers aren't working. Let me go to my congregation and try their thoughts and prayers. So he went to the congregation and was like, y'all, thoughts and prayers. That didn't work. So they brought in another minister, John Hale, and a local physician with William Griggs, who observed the symptoms in the girls and found no physical cause. They're the ones who said, maybe it's witchcraft. Okay. Mm. Because if these educated white men don't know what's wrong, then it's got to be the women doing some undercutting shit. And it's got to be
witchcraft. Like recently, before this episode, you covered a actual quote, what you would think as a witch who was actually burned at the stake.
Yeah.
So it's just so interesting that these are the Europeans who are coming from that environment witches are about witches. Any woman they don't like or has any power, or any autonomy is a witch. So they're very vulnerable to this suggestion of witchcraft. And then also it's all mixed up in religion. So,
right.
Because I think they literally believe that the devil in physical form existed back then.
Yeah. They fully did. And the idea of something unexplainable was not, they could not handle that. There was no such thing as like an unexplained, oh, that's interesting. That's different. Oh, like now educated people nowadays, I would think, know that there might be some things we don't know.
Yeah, I think I think they literally thought that there was like demonic things walking around in the wilderness. I mean, why wouldn't they? Because they came in where there were already people and like, you don't belong here. So I always feel like there's always that guilt, like we're going to get our punishment some kind of way. So we have to be vigilant to that. So, but okay, back to Tituba's story and the Salem witch trials.
I'm going to side note real quick because it's only one person, so I can. So did you watch Sex and the City?
Of course.
Of course. Do you remember when Charlotte had a depressed vagina? Okay. Whole episode about her depressed vagina. It's real. I had the same thing. I'm going to tell you all. Okay.
Miriam, I don't know if I want to know about your depressed vagina. I'm
not asking your permission. I'm just going to tell you all about it. Okay.
It's that kind of show. Okay. Mm-hmm.
It's that kind of show. Ahead. Yeah, you have no choice. Okay. Charlotte and I want to share, and we're going to. Now, what it is, it's like, I'm sharing because if there's anyone listening who's ever dealt with this, I'm giving to you. I've had it too. And I've met other women. And it's basically, it's like, it's not a yeast infection. It's not a bacterial infection. You don't have any STDs. There's nothing else wrong. And yet you're feeling all these things. That's a depressed vagina. Now, I'm here to tell you that in 100 years, it'll be a strain of some bullshit that they haven't discovered yet. And then they'll have a cream and we'll all be fine.
Yeah.
But like, this shit happens. Yeah, we don't know everything.
No, not at all.
Right? All right. You're welcome. Not you, Lavetta. You know, you're horrified. But everyone else listening who might have needed to hear that. Okay. Lavetta needs a minute. She's fine. Okay. So there is a neighbor, Mary Sibley, who said, why don't you make a witch cake to reveal if witchcraft was involved? So she told John Indian, I guess we're going to refer to him as that. That's fine. How to do it. And he was also a slave, right? With the family. Mm-hmm. So he did it and it revealed nothing. So what is a witch cake? Okay. Are you ready?
I was just about to ask that. Yes.
Okay. In 17th century England and New England, because right? We love all the great ideas from England. So it was basically a cake or a biscuit made with rye flour and the urine of the afflicted person. So poor John Indian collected the girl's urine, mixed it with rye or, you know, whatever, flour of some sort. And then they feed it to a dog. Okay. Now. Now, I know, right. So dogs were believed to be a common familiar associated with the devil. And then the dog was supposed to point to the witches who had afflicted the victim. Okay.
Have they met dogs? I mean, I know dogs in you know, Salem witch trial times in New England were different than the dogs we have now, but that's not how that works. That's not how dogs work.
No. Yeah. And it turns out that it wasn't because the dog probably just like threw up and then moved away, you know, like a good puppy should. That's right, baby. Get it out of your system. You should not eat urine. Thank you.
No.
Okay. So they did it. But then, right? Then Samuel went, oh shit, we just did a witchy thing in puritanical New England. I'm going to freak out. I'm going to denounce this shit in church in his pulpit. And so he went up there and he denounced the use of magic. He said it didn't matter if it had been done with good intentions, quote, going to the devil for help against the devil. And then all shit went to Mary Sibley, whose idea was it in the first place. And she had to confess before the congregation. And then the congregation got to vote to see if she could go back into their good graces.
Wait a minute. So let me track this. So the girls got sick.
Yes.
And Mary Sibley is like, Mary Sibley is like, oh, you should make a witch cake to find out where the witchcraft came from.
Right.
Because it's obviously witchcraft, not just like something that they ate.
Right.
Yeah. So, so Tituba's husband, John Indian, makes the cake.
Yep.
To feed to a dog.
Right.
And then the girls, one of the girls' dad, who's a pastor, who's the pastor, finds out about it and is like, oh, no. This is, you can't ask the devil for help against the devil.
Right.
And he denounces it. And then he's like, you, Mary Sibley, come on up here and we're going to decide your fate.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah.
That sounds right, doesn't it?
That sounds the start of insanity, which it turned out to be the start of insanity.
Funny you say that. So there is a, so the theory is that Tituba did teach the girls like tales of Haitian voodoo and witchcraft and things that she had picked up, like stories that she had picked up from where she came from.
Also, it's probably one of those things to keep the girls like, you know, engaged and like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like a fun kind of thing. You use it as like, they're kids, 9 and 12. They're still kids. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, she had to probably watch them and was responsible for them. And so she probably told them stories. Like, that's what you do. Like, you, right. Okay. So what happened was the girls ended up accusing, naming women who they're accusing of witchcraft. So, because she confessed to making the witch cake for them. Because Sibley. Tituba confessed to it, right?
Oh, so Tituba,
then the
okay.
girls decide to accuse Tituba and two other women, Sarah Good and Sarah Osborne. Now, because they were children, it did not go to court. So Tituba confesses to speaking with the devil, and in her confession, she stated that he ordered her to worship him and hurt the children of the village. This is her confession, right? Later she says, well, she learned these occult techniques from her mistress in, quote, her own country, which is, we think, Barbados. And these things were taught to her to ward off evil powers and reveal the cause of witchcraft that's happening. So she was also sharing that this knowledge is not supposed to be harmful, right? It's supposed to help ward off evil. And therefore she made the witch cake to help Elizabeth and Abigail, right? So this is what happened. Now, a month later, Tituba, Sarah, and Sarah were accused again, but this time by grown-ups, by grown-ass white women. Who's surprised? Now, raise your hand.
Now, one would ask, I'm going to play devil's advocate because it is that time of year. why would Tituba admit to this and not just be like, my name Bennett, ain't in it. I don't know what y'all talking about. I don't know nothing about no witch cake. What you talking about, Willis? Okay. Okay.
Okay. I'm going to get to that. It's a very, very good question.
Okay.
Okay. So they're accused again, this time by a grown ass white women who just love to watch them burn. You know. Okay. So that they could go to court. Because it wasn't about children this time.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
So the three of them were sent to jail in Boston to await trial and punishment on March 7th, 1692. Now, here's the thing. She confessed all this stuff, but there's actually no proof of the things that she confessed to. And we find out later that Samuel Parrish beat her.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Into those confessions.
But also, there's no evidence because this is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Witchcraft does not exist, people.
It doesn't. Guys, I call myself a witch. I'm like a witch. I have a coven. But it's not, you've seen me, Lavetta. You're like, these are my witches.
Herbs and all of that is real. But the kind of witchcraft they're talking about, like seeing a witch form, doing evil, trying to hurt children, that does not exist. So, okay.
They
of course started, he beat her.
That yeah, started the whole witch thing because of midwives. You guys, do you know that?
It's no, I don't think they know that.
Yeah, that's how the whole thing started, because women understood what herbs, what ways to get childbirth to come easier and better and to heal, and in hopes of a woman not just birthing a baby, but surviving and thriving. That's what midwives were for. Mm-hmm. They're still there trying to do that, right? But that's what happened, is men were kicked out of the room. And the next thing you know, a baby existed. And they just went, oh, that's magic. Fucked up. It's witchcraft. Magic.
And it's also magic. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, so exactly. anytime a woman does something that men don't understand, it's witchcraft. Okay.
Assholes.
Yeah. Okay.
So what she did, because now other women and men from surrounding villages are being accused of practicing witchcraft. This catapulted the whole thing. Now, she used these accusations to stir confusion among Massachusetts residents. This allowed her to protect herself against the death sentence that could have been imposed on her. So she deflected people's attention and convinced everyone else that while she did practice a little bit of witchcraft, she was just a witness, that she's not a witch. And that probably saved her life. So she essentially doubled down.
Also, because I think she looked around, especially after he beat her, she looked around and she realized that telling the truth is not going to work on these crazy white people.
Right.
So I have to figure out another way to survive.
That's exactly what happened. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Like she was like, I am not white. There's no way. So she leaned in. Like she
Because it's like you keep telling them the truth and they're like, that's not true. Admit it. And you're like, okay. So what's going to happen if I admit it? They're going to send me to Boston. Right. Okay.
So she went all in. She was like, yes, I did occult practices. Yes, the devil visited me. She was entertaining. She confessed about she talked about black dogs and hogs and a yellow bird and red and black rats and cats and a fox. She talked about riding sticks to different places, all while not a witch, right? I just do witch things, right? So I'm a witness to all these other witches, right? Because she got to save herself, and women are dying. Women are being pressed. Actually, only one woman was pressed to death, but Jesus Christ, terrible. That's insane.
Yes, interesting. Were there any men accused of being a witch or a warlock?
I mean, I read that there was like one or two, but I don't know if they died.
But this was a female purge is basically what
this was a female purge. Yeah. Like, okay, I'll say it now. So by the end of the trials, four accused witches had died in prison. One was pressed to death. And 19 were hanged. This was a purge.
Oof.
Yeah. And I mean, what she did, like, I don't know. I mean, she was saving herself is what she was doing, because she was definitely pushing the narrative, you know?
Yeah, she, yeah. It's like she realized they weren't going to believe her when she's telling the truth. So she was like, watch this. Yeah, yeah. There was a witch. There's a dog. Mm-hmm. There's a bird. Yeah. There's something with some creature that came out of the woods with horns and red tongue and a snake turned into a man that's had hooves for feet. And like, yep. Yeah, that's what I'd be like. See, this is what happened. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's what she did. So she stayed in the Boston jail, which was like horrific, like disgusting.
Yeah, of course.
For 13 months. Samuel Parris refused to pay her jail fees, so she was stuck there. And she was pulled out to testify in other trials of accused witches. Wow. We don't really know what happened other than she was not killed. In 1693, in April, she was sold to an unknown person for the price of her jail fees. Now, we know from... There's an interview with Robert Califf for his collection of papers on the trials titled More Wonders of the Invisible World, being an account of the trials of several witches lately executed in New England. Tituba did confirm that he beat her to get a confession out of her. Right. And then, I saved this for last, coached her on what to say and how to say it when she was first questioned. So, yes, she perpetuated it. Also, yes, she didn't have a choice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I kind of forget that.
Didn't.
Also, because he's a mean-spirited bastard, and it, you know, with the Salem witch trials that we're referring to, guys, if it's not clear, in America, in 1692 is when it started?
1692, yeah.
And then it goes through over a year. It was like a female purge, but also it seems like that people use the opportunity to bear false witness towards their neighbors that they did not like or had a grievance towards for other things, like, you know, property grievance, what have you.
So, oh, totally. Like it was suddenly an excuse to just, you know, do your worst. You know, and humanity.
It's like the blacklist, the actual blacklist in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, for sure.
Oh, these people want equality in this. So let's purge them by calling them communist and accusing them of being traitors to the U.S. And they just so happen to be people who are calling on equality and, and you know.
Funny that.
And it's like, and then compelling people to name names, because that's basically, this is the original names. You better name some names or you gonna be hung, right? Yep. So Tituba's like, so it was Harry Sue, Peggy Sue, Mary
Sarah,
Sue.
Goody Sarah, goody Abigail, goody next person.
It was... that cat over there,
also the cat, murder the cat. Okay,
yeah,
sorry.
It's like, I don't know. She's just like,
They called them Goody, by the way, instead of Mrs. That's why I said that.
Yeah, which is so interesting, Goody. Yeah.
I know, right? That's exactly like, listen, this country fucking loves like a tattletale. This country like lives off of that shit.
We do like I would say a whistleblower. Okay. We love a whistleblower. But she just realized, I'm telling you, as a non-white person who's been in a room full of crazy white people, you're looking around, you're like, these motherfuckers are present company excluded, of course.
Thank
but
you.
You're
appreciate
like,
it.
These motherfuckers are crazy. And you're like, how am I going to get out of this?
Right.
Like, she's like, I'm already a slave and brought from beautiful Barbados, which is tropical and gorgeous and got great fresh food and fruits to this cold ass miserable place where they probably make me sleep in the barn and give me millet to eat.
I was just going to say, and the food is like 14 years old. They've been canned.
Yeah, and they're not using seasoning. They just, because
they're white. They don't
and
know
they're
how to do
beating
that.
Me and it's just terrible and don't even know my husband's name. Call him John Indian. That's not his name.
No.
Like, no. It's just terrible. And then and then they're trying to kill me over some dream that these girls just ate mushrooms. They ate mushrooms.
Let me tell you what they somewhere. Think. They think that, like, we're talking about eating millet.
Yeah, yeah,
they think it was in the grains. They think that that had gone. It can cause fevers. It can cause hallucinations. Like, bad food could really fuck you up. That's why you want someone in charge, like an FDA, for example, to be in charge of how your food gets processed. And my friends, all food gets processed unless you are the gardening person, unless you're growing everything from your farm. So that's what they think happened, that there was like some bullshit in the food.
So Tituba is just like, these are some crazy white folks. Let me see how I can survive. So she survives 13 terrible months in a terrible jail. Gets sold.
No record of what happened to her or her husband after 1693. Now, okay. Guess who comes back in 1694 with a real apology? Okay. So Samuel Parris in 1694 is like, oh, I'm sorry about that.
My bad.
My bad. Maybe some of that was my fault. Allow me to apologize. A little white tears going down his face, you know, because that's what they do. We call
those crocodile tears. They don't impress me much. Okay.
In 1711, so this is 15, 16 years later, Massachusetts offered compensation to the victims of the trials, but not Tituba. Oh, no. Her name was not listed anywhere. Nope.
As a slave, anything, the compensation would go to Samuel Parris. Like,
yeah, fuck him.
Yeah.
So that's a good point.
Who caused it. Yeah.
Now, they think that she might have had a daughter named Violet, but they don't know, because there is, quote unquote, an Indian woman named Violet in Paris's will in 1720.
You know that is, they all know each other.
Yeah. That's what that is.
White people in America are going to be white people in America. I mean, bless y'all. I got white people in my family, so don't come for me. It's like we all, as an African-American, I got white ancestors. But it's just like, really, guys? Really? Like, really? And it's like, really?
Now, I have a question for you. I was, you know, down some sort of social media rabbit hole because I have a problem. And someone who all I remember about, like, I read, you know, whatever, when you're on rabbit holes, you don't remember who it is you're looking at.
So it was someone
that I relatively respect, and it was a black woman, and her, what she was saying was that how white people can be allies. And I thought this was interesting, is that she said white people need to stop referring to themselves as white people. Like, when you fill out a form, don't say white when someone asks you what you are, because it's a construct.
Yeah.
I thought that was interesting because I've always felt like I should, like, sort of admit a level of whiteness that gives me a level of privilege.
I think for you, because you are also Jewish, that's important to understand for probably other Jewish people who are like, I'm not white. And it's like, you're passing for white. So,
And I think that's why I kind of refer to myself as that to a degree, just because.
I think that's interesting. I don't know how helpful that would be. If there aren't a large enough number of white people doing that. You know what I mean? But I get the idea behind the gesture. I get what she's trying to say, that, you know, to start to break down the construct of race. And so I understand what she's saying, but I think practically, I think money always helps. If you want to be an ally, money.
Yeah that's what I was thinking.
Like,
there are other ways
to go. Also, you know, support resource, you know, support resources. You know, for instance, like when Sandra Bullock produced a George Lopez show, right? You meet somebody and you're like, oh my God, this is a great idea, but you need somebody like Sandra Bullock, who's a name, to get it actually made.
Yeah.
And then let George and his team do what they do and not try. Yeah. Yeah.
You're that's not how creative. You just gave the money. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Or I think, Robert De Niro like produced, you know, some Ava DuVernay projects. Brad Pitt is producing projects. Like that's how you can be an ally, you know, that's the kind of thing, you know. And also the number one and I think easiest thing is just when you see it in person, you see people being bigoted and terrible.
Call it out.
Offer protection in that moment if you can. And just, so I get what she's saying, but I don't know how effective that is unless there's a larger percent. There's enough white people doing that. So, you know, but
I was just curious.
But so that's Tituba, huh? Like, so we don't know what happened to. Oh, man. So what did we learn this episode? Tituba was over white people's bullshit. And she was not black. She was more probably Native, what we would consider Native American Native from the Caribbean.
From the Caribbean. But so, possibly also stolen as a child from like Venezuela. So it's.
Yeah.
We're still unsure. But she, you know.
Found her way to cold ass New England and dealing with some crazy white folks. Oh, my God. I hope she found some not as crazy white folks that she can exist around. And I hope her and her husband, whose name is not John Indian.
Absolutely
it's just something
not.
White mm-hmm. people came up with that. Yeah. I hope they reunited and I hope she had a family. So
yeah, me too.
Well, thank you so much. What a way to kick off our new iteration, our new branding. To kick off the holidays, right?
Right. Okay.
You know, we know this didn't take place necessarily during Christmas time. I mean, some of it did because it happened for over a year, but we thought like New England, right? I get it. You're thinking
like
New England
and like witch. We're coming off of Halloween.
Yeah.
And then we're going into like Thanksgiving, Christmas.
Yeah. Pumpkin spice and sugar and spice.
Yes. Delicious.
You know, pumpkin pie and sweet potato pie. And
can I admit something to you real quick? Okay.
Yes.
I know we just talked about, am I white? I am. And I confirmed it the other day when I was at a very famous coffee shop. I won't name names, but it rhymes with Arbucks. And I said, fine, one pumpkin spice latte, fine. And I said, light on the syrup, because I don't like things too sugary. It was delicious.
Listen, this is America and we borrow culture from each other. That's, you know, that's what makes it so great. I'm a black woman and pumpkin spice slaps. I'm just going to say
it's good, right?
It slaps. It's delicious. So there's no shame in that. It's, I call it my inner white girl and I'm like, this is delicious.
Yeah.
This is delicious.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, yeah, I mean like, yes. Yeah. I mean, like, let's take from the culture that is delicious.
Yeah, it's American culture at this point. Like, you know, American culture is the melting pot. So no shame in that. Pumpkin spice is delicious. So.
You've absolved me of my guilt. I appreciate it.
Well, on that note, that wraps it up for the latest episode of the Notorious Women podcast. Guys, remember to follow us on all the things. Also, remember to always just copy the link and send it to your friend when you tell them about the show. Tell them about how funny and wonderful and pretty we are and smart and all the good things.
Right.
And remember to leave us a 5-star review on Spotify and in the Apple Store. That helps people find us. That's very, very, very important. And if you want to be an ally to the show, you can do that by sending us some money. Money always helps.
You're supporting a black owned business is all I'm saying.
And a minority owned business because we're two women. So
that's right.
I mean, if you have to, whatever you got to tell yourself to come up off that cash. You can do that at the Notorious Women. You can do that at Patreon, rather, at our patreon.com/notorious women. That's patreon.com/notorious women. And Miriam, how else can they support the show and find us?
You guys, we are on Instagram, Notorious Women Podcast. Come find us there. We are also on TikTok, Notorious Women Podcast. Come find us there. They're slightly different. We do slightly different things on TikTok than we do on Insta. You can email us at notoriouswmpod@gmail.com. And then if you want to listen to episodes on YouTube, we're also on YouTube. Just FYI. That is that.
All right, guys. We will see you next week. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Produced by Atavita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.